I didn't know we were talking about Noah in the flood. That was my dramatic entrance. Hold on, let me try again. I was a girl accustomed to war. My father, grandfather, husband, all soldiers. I came from a family that prided itself on being in the military. So it was not strange for me to marry a Hittite warrior. I was married to Uriah, a trusted soldier, bodyguard to the king of Israel, David. My grandfather was Ahithophel, one of King David's trusted advisors. I was important as far as women go. Many people know my story, but many people do not see how God intervened to take what could have been a tragedy and turned it into salvation. This is why I'm here, to help people see what God can do with our sin, to plead with you for you to see what God can do with your brokenness. But let me start at the beginning. My story is found in the book of 2 Samuel. Being that I was the daughter of Eliam, one of King David's trusted 30 closest bodyguards, it was fit for me to marry a Hittite soldier. I was married to Uriah at a young age. Hittites were paid mercenaries, and it was strange for Uriah to be so trusted. I was once so beautiful, and my family was honored and revered. So a Hittite marriage to another prestigious military family was a good fit for both our families. He was feared by his enemies, trusted through and through. He was a soldier at best. He was feared by all, but loved by his men. While Uriah was away to destroy the Ammonites in Rabbah, upon King David's command, I, of course, stayed in Jerusalem. During this time, I was to continue my regular duties as a woman while her husband was away. I was lonely, but I knew that Uriah would return soon. During this time, I was taking a purification bath, as customary, on my rooftop. But unbeknownst to me, I had a spectator. King David had been sleeping and decided to take a stroll once he woke up. And atop of his rooftop palace, he looked out across his kingdom and saw me bathing. Captivated by my beauty, David asked several of his servants, "Who is that woman?" His servants replied, "That is Bathsheba, the wife of the Hittite, Uriah." After hearing this, David sent his servants to my door. After my bath, I closed myself and began to get ready for my day. I heard a knock at my door, but I thought, surely Uriah has not returned so soon. And if it is Uriah, he wouldn't be knocking, it's his house. Then a thought flurried through my body. Perhaps it's word from Uriah. Or much worse, maybe Uriah's dead. I ran to the door, knowing that it was grievous news. And I was surprised that a hand servant of the king was at my door. The servant told me that King David wanted to see me in the palace, but no more details were mentioned. I knew in my heart that nothing good could come of this. But he was the king, and I was to respect and to obey. I closed the door, and I changed my clothing. Something more suitable for a king, I thought. My handmaidens warned me that it was not suitable for a woman like me, married, to visit the king. But I paid no attention. Perhaps he had a report from Uriah. Or possibly he was lonely, such as I. My grandfather, Ahithophel, was one of King David's chief advisors. Surely David knew of this and had no malintention from a visit. So I began to walk to the palace. And every step I took, I got closer to his dwelling place. I felt the sting of guilt. Escorted by the king's servants, we shuffled our way through the busy streets. And people would eye me, knowing where I was going, knowing that I was married. They knew I was married, and they knew I was going somewhere else. And then I began to notice people whispering. It was impossible for me to visit the king without someone noticing. Eventually, somebody would see me, and word would get back to my husband. But there would be no harm in visiting a king, had there? Once we arrived to the king's quarters, his servants were asked to leave us alone. I knew that it was highly inappropriate for me to be alone with somebody that was not my husband. But still, I stayed. I don't know if I stayed because I was lonely or if I stayed because he was the king. But nonetheless, I stayed. We talked and he played the flute, and in those moments I fell into sin. I betrayed my husband, myself, the Lord. I betrayed them all with my body. And I fell into a deep temptation. And I lost. I knew that I wouldn't be able to keep this a secret from my husband. And did I want to? David was a king. He was able to offer me everything. And I was sent home with the escorts. And not a word was given. I didn't know if I would see him again. I didn't know if he was going to call on me again. I was given nothing. I walked back to my home and passed many people who I knew now were strangers. I stayed too long. I thought to myself, now I'll never be able to explain to my husband once he gets word of why I spent so much time alone with someone. But I continued my day as normal. No one asked, and I didn't tell. It was our secret. But several weeks later, my body began to change. And it was then that I realized that I was with child. My womb was carrying a baby, not of my husband's, but instead of my adulterous act with the king. I at once sent word to the king, I'm pregnant. And I was told later that when the king received this message, he called to Joab, one of his trusted soldiers, to gather my husband Uriah from the battle. He wanted Uriah to return home. Uriah returned to the king as planned and gave the king a full report. But see, David devised a plan. He knew that I was with child. And he knew that Uriah would know that I was alone for too long to be carrying a baby that was his. So he invited Uriah to come back, to come and be with me, so we could cover it up. But Uriah would never return to me. Instead, he slept in the servants' quarters. Uriah was a faithful servant. And he knew if men were out there fighting, that he should not enjoy the presence of his beautiful wife. So that next night, David decided to try and get him drunk with wine. And even still, Uriah didn't come home. He stayed outside. So loyal to such an unloyal wife. And I did nothing. I knew my husband was home, and I didn't call out to him. I didn't try and confess. I just sat there and just wept. Once David got word that Uriah did not visit home, David decided to put an end to our secret. Instead of confessing, David sent word to Joab again to put Uriah, my husband, at the front lines. Then when the fighting is the most fierce, he was to pull back and leave Uriah exposed. And it was then, with Uriah's death, that our secret would die. Our secret died with many of David's soldiers, including my husband. And to my everlasting shame, I do not know if Uriah knew anything. Many people saw me enter, and many people saw me leave. It's very possible that Uriah knew what was happening, and yet he did nothing about it. After the fighting was over, a messenger went to the king to let King David know that many men had died, including Uriah. I also received word that my husband had fallen, and my adulterous heart just sank. I wept. I wept for my betrayal. I wept for my loyal, dead husband. I wept for my shame. I wept for my unborn baby. After the mourning time was over, King David sent for me to come and live with him. And much to my shame, I went. I became one of his many wives and bore him our son. But God was not pleased with what David had done. God spoke to Nathan, one of David's best friends, and gave him a message. Nathan told a story about two men, one rich and one very poor. The rich man had everything, and the poor man had but a small lamb. The lamb wasn't even to be considered livestock, but instead part of the poor man's family. It even ate from their table. And while a traveler came to visit the kingdom, he stayed in the palace. The king was very stingy, and instead of providing a feast with his own hefty flock, he took the poor man's lamb. When David heard the story, he exploded with anger, and he spoke of blasphemy, and how could this rich man do that? This man must be punished for his sin. And then Nathan spoke again. My Lord, you are this man. David began to cry, and he wept. He confessed to Nathan and confessed to the Lord of the sin that we had both committed. And Nathan assured David that God forgives sin, but not without consequence. The Lord spoke through Nathan again, saying, because of your blasphemous behavior, the son born to you through Bathsheba will die. When I received word of this, I knew that God loved David, and he would take pity on David, and surely he would take pity on our son. When our son was born, 7 days after, he was afflicted with a great illness. David fasted and he prayed. He wouldn't even leave the floor. I watched my husband and my baby dying before my eyes. Our baby breathed its last breath and I wept. I wept holding my son and I wept for my murdered husband. And it's all because I did nothing. When the king had gotten word that our baby was no longer living, he picked himself off the floor, changed his clothes, and combed his hair. I wept. David came and comforted me and held me as I wept. We spent time with one another, and the Lord provided for us to conceive a new child. When our second child was born, we named him Solomon. And God sent word to us through Nathan that God wanted to name him Jedediah, meaning God's beloved. God had special favor for our son Solomon, and Solomon eventually became a wonderful king. Even then, God could see the beauty in our sin. God took my adultery and turned it into something beautiful. He turned it into Solomon. God was able to take this tragedy and turn it into our salvation. Through Christ, our sins are forgiven. And in this way, my adultery, my lies, all became a precious child that eventually became a bloodline of Christ. God took our tragedy and turned it into salvation. Later in the scriptures, long after the dust from my bones had passed, the book of Romans was recorded. And it says, meanwhile, the moment we are tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does the praying in and for us, making us prayer warriors, taking our wordless sighs, our aching groans, and intercedes them for us on our behalf. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition, and he keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives in the love of God is worked into something good. Sometimes all we have to offer the Lord is our brokenness. Sometimes all we have to offer him is our hurt. Sometimes all we have to offer him is nothing in comparison from what he really deserves. But just like the Lord did for me and my sin, he turned it into something beautiful. God weaves with his divine hand and takes tragedy into redemption. And it makes me think, if he can do that with brokenness, because sometimes that's all we have, just think of what God can do live our best. Thank you.